let's just go to Isaiah 53. Are you there? So prophetically speaking about Jesus. It says in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. How many know that he hung on a cross to pay for our sins, right? For our sins to be forgiven. Not only that, it wasn't just your forgiving of sins, it was that you could be reborn righteous. Through his wounds on the cross, he paid a price that the greatest miracle we'll ever know took place within us. God rebirthed us in his image. Right? So he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. How many know when he took the beating at the cross, he was to give us access to supernatural healing power?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Visit us this morning. To give us the ability to tap into miracle power to heal our physical bodies. And anything can be accomplished through that power.
Yes.
Blind eyes can be opened.
Yes.
Deaf ears can be opened. Right? Lepers cleansed. Backs renewed. Dead can be raised. Nothing is impossible in that.
Amen.
So, the chastisement, I'm sorry, the bruised, wounded for our iniquities. You read it again. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. I couldn't get it straight for you. The forgiveness of sin that he bought for us was a miracle release of power.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody have a problem with that?
No.
The healing he purchased through his stripes was a miracle release of power.
Amen.
Right in the middle of it, he says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And normally Christians read this, they start thinking about, well, just peace means you're not worried. Anybody have a problem with that? Peace means you don't have any fear. You may be going through some struggles, but you trust God, so you don't have any concern about it. And I think that's wonderful. I think it's wonderful that we trust God and we know He's got our backs. He's partnered with us. We don't have to worry. If you're carrying worry, you're missing out on part of what God paid for us to have. You follow me? If you want peace in your life, something's broken as far as your belief system that you're not tapping into what God said you can have. And a lot of times, we limit ourselves as a Christian to believing peace is just a mental state of being. Let me try to state that more appropriately. We think of peace as not worrying. So many people practice worrying. Patty's mother said all the time, it's a mother's prerogative to worry. And she did. She took full advantage of that prerogative. It's a Christian's covenant right not to have to worry.
Amen.
You follow me?
Amen.
That God wants us to be fear-free. We're worry-free. Stress-free.
Yes, ma'am.
See, worry and fear birth oppression and stress. Amen. Oppression and stress are just feeling like you failed or you're worried about something. And Jesus paid, we can be free from that. We should have no stress in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Even when the bolt you're trying to put in is cross-threaded a bit.
Yeah.
you drop the spoon in the chili that you're making, whatever. We're to be stress-free. But again, we tend to limit peace to being a state of being worry-free or even fear-free. But get this. In the same passage, he was wounded for our transgressions is a supernatural release.
Yeah.
By his stripes you were healed is a supernatural release.
Yeah.
Now I want to pose to you this morning that the peace we're to live in should be supernatural in content.
Yes.
Not just that you're thinking without fear. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
But you've tapped into a supernatural release of an anointing of peace that we can live in that doesn't just calm you down, it calms everybody around you that you come near.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
It's a release of a shalom that you're living in that drives off demonic spirits that would cause fear.
Yes.
And
yes.
Oppression. Mental assault. Yes. It pushes it away. Do you follow me?
Yes.
And instead breathes into you just a tranquility. Now we covered this a few months back, talking some about peace. Now the world's pursuit of peace usually takes them the wrong steps. Usually peace for the world means escapism. Oh, if I can just turn on the TV for about 6 hours, I can recover. If I can go to the beach, or I can go on vacation, or if I can eat enough out of the refrigerator, if I can go shopping and spend enough money, if I get an outfit, then I'll have peace. Oh, if I can just get rid of all my worries, so I'll, divorce the person that's caused me the stress, or whatever it might be. Quit the job. Instead of overcoming stress, the world tends to try to avoid or get rid of things that are stressing them. At least what they think are stressing them. But often the stress is caused by demonic spirits bombarding us with thoughts. Amen. So the world tries to escape through all types of methods. And one of the major areas the world tries to use to escape are drugs and alcohol. You follow me? I mean, I'm not sure. I didn't used to live there. And I was a drunk. I was drunk a lot for 12 years. And I know I was an alcoholic. I didn't stay drunk 24/7, but I drank all the time. And everything I did was looking forward to drinking. If I went to a social gathering, I was drinking. If it wasn't an alcohol-centered focus, I'd have my own in the car. Because my mental faculty desired the state of somewhat being inebriated. There was a peace that came through that, whether I recognized it or not. And then, of course, drugs. If the alcohol doesn't do it, a lot of people turn to drugs. Because guess what? One pill, you can have peace. Till the pill wears off, and then you probably have more problems than you started with. You can take, smoke the pipe or whatever you need. There's probably some form of it in a pill form. In fact, TV's always bombarding us. You can take this, it'll fix all your problems. And then they now legally list all the side effects.
Yeah.
But you can do all this. And it's like, I think I'll just settle for what I have now.
Yeah.
But what I want to bring out right now is, the devil is the master counterfeiter.
Yes, he is.
He's a counterfeiter. And every form of pharmaceutical, even alcohol itself, is a form of an anointing God's made available to us. I've known this way back. Smoking marijuana puts you in a different mental state. But it's a poor counterfeit of a visitation of the presence of God.
Amen. Pales.
The presence of God comes up, you think differently. Mm-hmm. You perceive differently.
Yes.
Your desires change.
Yes.
I mean, all of a sudden you're seeing with a clarity. Yes. And people smoking pot think it's producing that for them. Well, it is, but you're tapping into a different kingdom, a different system.
Right.
And it's one that the demonic forces reign in. Right?
Right.
So I've known for decades marijuana was a counterfeit to the presence of God. I didn't do a lot of it, not as much as my wife. But when I did cocaine, I loved everybody. Now, I'm thankful it wouldn't crack when I was doing stuff, because I did drugs for 10 years. Recreational, mostly. Just state stuff, but it was recreational. When I did cocaine, I felt like I could conquer the world. Everybody loved me. I loved everybody. We're surprised you're making a fool of yourself, but you felt like you could. Cocaine is a counterfeit to the agape, supernatural love of God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
an anointing came on Elijah that he outran a chariot.
Yeah.
Ran for 40 miles. Amphetamines. I remember when I was in college doing so much speed, I'd party all day, half the night, and need to study for a test. I'd just pop a pill, stay up the rest of the night, study for the test, go take the test, and forget everything I learned. Don't go to sleep on it. You'll forget it in the meantime. But Elijah's anointing came on him as amphetamines are a counterfeit of that. I saw a program. This is kind of a side note. Patty and I watched a movie last night about the Holocaust. About a couple individuals that escaped one of the Holocaust.
True story.
Escaped one of the
prison camps,
yeah. Death camps.
The first one.
And it showed the cruelty of all these Nazis. I mean, just shoot you for nothing, beat you for nothing. I mean, mock you. But I'd seen a program a few years ago that I had not been aware of. Amphetamines came out back in the 20s and 30s. And people thought it was a miracle drug. And the Nazi army adopted amphetamines in the military. I mean, if you're a Nazi, you fell asleep on guard duty, they may shoot you. So guess what you're going to do? You're going to get a speed.
Yep.
Now, when the war first started, Germans were thought to be super soldiers. They couldn't do any wrong. I mean, they could just march all day, go all night, super soldiers. They were all high on speed. Speed will increase your strength, your stamina. You follow me? Your mental acuity until you crash. And at the beginning of the war, they were super soldiers, but as the war went on, they were doing so much of it, they started burning out. And instead of being super soldiers, they became less than super. I mean, even weaker because of years of doing amphetamines. And it was just, they give them to them like candy. Eat some more speed. And as a counterfeit, that's the other thing. And studies have shown that excessive use of amphetamines, it destroys your empathetic connections in your brain. All of a sudden, you don't see people, you see everything with a hardened heart. So when you hear these Nazis doing these atrocities, it can be attributed to a high level to all the amphetamines they were doing. God's got a speed. He's got anointings that are refreshing. And I know this because for many years we tapped into it at all night prayer on Friday nights. I would be absolutely fried. See, I don't Fridays, I may study all day, I may work all day, but I'm doing something. I don't sit around doing nothing. I may have worked all day, and we'd have prayer at 11 o'clock at night, later 10 o'clock, and by 10 o'clock, I feel like I just need to get to prayer. I need to crash. At least I'm ready to be up all night to pray.
Amen.
And I'd say, no, God, you assigned this. You're the one that confirmed this. We're to be doing this. I'm going. And the first time we did it, we had a big crowd show up. I remember the first time we did all night prayer. Some of you. People brought their sleeping bags, their pajamas, everything. And we started praying and something happened. All of a sudden, we're all wide awake and refreshed. And we found it happened every Friday night. You could be beat. You can be totally exhausted and get to all-night prayer. And you're refreshed after you just sing a few songs, worship a bit, pray in the Spirit. All of a sudden, wow, energized. And we started calling it the caffeine anointing. I still do to this day, the caffeine anointing. That's the same power that hit Elijah to let him outrun a chariot. That's the same power the enemy's tried to counterfeit with amphetamines. You understand? Speed and amphetamines are the same thing. And God's got a better form. And I could go home, sleep a few hours, and still be refreshed the next day. Saturday feel great. Why? Because the power that God releases elevates you versus demolishes you. Well, there's a peace. And one of my favorite drugs I used to do were downers, barbiturates, Valiums, Quaaludes. Patty was known as the Quaalude Queen for sure.
Oh my goodness.
We did them a lot. She did them a whole lot. Explain some things today. And barbiturates are a form of peace. Because we hit a term, we're just going to veg out. You take a downer and sit there, thorium. Thorium, you become mentally dead. I mean, you're just there. Blob on a chair. You're not going nowhere. And even, you know, Valium after Patty did three or four of them at a time.
Ooh.
I don't know, did you ever do three or four at a time? Two. Okay. Huh? That's Valium. Well, the blues were 10 milligrams, yeah. I was talking about the Quaaludes. How many Quaaludes?
Oh, yeah, used to only be one or two.
One or two, yeah, Quaaludes. So that's her birthday.
Yeah.
Anyway, back on track. It's amazing. Her birthday is 714 and her initials are PMS. Oh, my goodness. It just hit Connor. It took a minute. So these barbiturates, you just sit in a chair and like, man, what you know? I'm chilling, man. Want to go see a movie? No, man, I'm chill. Leave me alone. Don't mess with my high here right now, right? Or low. And it's a form of counterfeit peace. And of course, it wears off and you're addicted or worse off than before. And, but God's got a peace that's more than your mind being free of worry. It's supernatural. And you don't have to veg on it. You can do stuff. You can get up and move around. You can be totally energized, but yet be in this peace that passes knowledge. Now, this is, there's an access to, given to us to a peace that passes knowledge. We can be in this peace and be like, whoa, God. Totally inundated with his presence. And in fact, I believe that peace is the primary component of his presence when it visits us. I mean, the presence of God comes and you're like, you revelate, but at the same time, what would I be worried about? And you can feel it. It's tangible. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. See, healing and being born again are supernatural. The peace has got to be supernatural as well. Sean's back there having a flashback now. Matthew chapter 10. Let's see. He's telling the 12 disciples that they're to go out and prepare the way for him. They're to go to cities he's going to come to and preach the gospel. And he says, verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely give. Then he says, don't even take any money with your extra clothes. Trust in God to supply. Now, first of all, he says, I've given you authority to function in miracle power. How many know that's supernatural?
Yes.
That's a release of supernatural power from heaven when they're doing these things. You're not casting out devils and healing the sick without some type of anointing on your life. But then he says, when you go, don't take any food with you. Don't take any money with you. Don't take any extra clothes with you. Trust that God will supply on the way. Well, right away, I don't know about you, but my natural mind likes having backup supply.
Yeah.
There's a reason I have about 600 sockets in the house. I don't know. In my garage. I like backup. My wife, see, now I'm much more of a risk taker than my wife. I can jump in the car and just take off, and wherever I end up. If I have enough days, I'll just stay. If I find a hotel, I'll find one. If I don't, I'll sleep in the car. Eat whatever we find, not her. 3 days before we're leaving, where are we staying? I don't know. No, where are we staying?
That's right.
Once it's all lined out, you know. Have you got reservations? No, there'll be a place.
Yeah. He's done this.
What's this?
You've done that.
I do it all the time.
Yes. I agree. I confirm it.
What's your example?
Chariots of Lights, when we were heading down before we got to where we were supposed to be, you were like, well, we'll just get a hotel on the way. It's like, where are we staying?
You ever get a hotel for going on the way on a trip? I just find something.
I travel my whole life.
But Patty likes it laid out. Bum, bum, where are we eating? She'll ask me 2 days or where are we eating in 3 days? Got reservations. And some people, it may be gender aligned, I don't know.
No,
some
like
people
that.
Like it. What's that?
I said no because I'm like that.
Okay. I like the adventure of not knowing where you're going or where you're going to stay or what you're going to eat. Some people want it all laid out.
Yeah,
we had a prophet, I don't remember his name, from Hawaii, come through, my goodness, 25 years or so ago, 20 years ago, come through Lexington. He didn't know me from anybody. And he's preaching and he stops in front of me. He says, it's obvious, he was in the anointing, it's obvious you're a risk taker. Well, me? I like adventure. I like some things not being laid out. Some people that is just it causes mental stress. Not knowing everything laid out. And Jesus said, I want you to go out without any plans, not knowing where you're going. Go to some cities. Don't take anything with you.
He's like you.
And the natural mind is like, do what?
Yeah.
My stomach likes to eat on a regular basis.
Maybe that's why the disciples were all men.
How do we know we're going to have? And Jesus said, just trust. Now, if they, see, they had to put their trust in Jesus.
Yes.
That Jesus were God. Right? Yeah, I know. They may be identifying him as the Son of God, but they're thinking, he's speaking on behalf of the Father. How do we know? And that would be a source of worry, but he says, go out. He's teaching them to trust God and get rid of the fear and the worry.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Do you follow me? But that's just a mental result of trusting. Patty, what are we having for supper tonight? She has no idea. I'm probably having turnip greens.
I'm probably having
okay. In other words, I'm fending for myself, is what she said. She's told me for years, if you don't go on keto, you're cooking for yourself. She told the truth. The meatballs are covered in bread crumbs. That's off my list.
Oh.
Anyway, if she says, hey, we're having chili tonight, I'm not making plans for supper. She's already told me she's having chili. I trust her in what she said. Amen. Well, the disciples had to trust Jesus what he said and relax it. But that's just a mental, how can I say, settling that you know is taken care of. She says, we're having chili. It's settled. I'm not going to be concerned about supper tonight or whatever. Jesus says, hey, I'll supply it. You have a mental You have a mental, how can I say it, liberty to not worry because Jesus says it'll be taken care of, or the Word says it'll be taken care of. But again, that's a mental peace.
Yeah.
It's not a spiritual peace.
Amen.
And we need both. You need a mental peace to make a to set a foundation for supernatural spiritual peace to come on you. Because if you start worrying, it's going to tamper with the presence of God coming in, bringing the spiritual peace. But go on over. He's telling when you go out, verse 12, and when you come into a house, salute it, greet it. And if a house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Now, I don't know how you take your lack of worry and transfer it to a house, or even somebody else. If Terry's coming over for supper, and I say, Patty said, we're having chili. She says, how do we know Patty's got stuff for chili? How do we know that we're not going to starve tomorrow night? You can't just transfer peace. They have to believe in themselves. Yeah. I'm talking about mental peace. You can tell people words that may resolve concern, but you just can't take the trust you have and give it to somebody else. Somebody comes in here and I have confidence, by his stripes I'm healed. Somebody comes and doesn't know God, I can say, by his stripes you're healed. They may still fear sickness. You just can't transfer a mental state. But you can transfer an anointing. You can establish an anointing of the presence of God, or an atmosphere of the presence of God, that is receivable by those in your midst. Does anybody know where I'm going with this? When he says, let your peace rest upon that house, it's got to be more than a mental state. It's an anointing of the presence of God that will rest on that house.
Amen.
He said, if the house is worthy, let the peace that's on you, a supernatural impartation of the Holy Spirit. See, the Spirit of God was on them. They weren't born again yet. They weren't filled with the Spirit, but the Spirit of God was on them to let them do the miracles Jesus assigned them to do. And the peace was on them. The presence was on them in a fashion. They're walking around going, whoa, man. Peter, you feel like I feel? I would wonder what the conversations were.
Amen.
I guarantee they weren't walking around normal.
Yeah. No.
Hey, what's up? Think about the ball game today. No, they're like, oh, gosh. Woo-hoo, you feel this? I'll assure you that's what they're doing. How many do that themselves when the presence comes on you? We've been sitting around Friday nights going, whoa, God. Caught up in the anointing. And they were. Not even born again, but the presence of God is not limited to being born again, to coming on somebody.
Amen.
Samson wasn't born again. And look what he did through the Spirit of God coming on him. So this presence was on them. They're walking around totally blitzed by the anointing. And Jesus, when you go to a house, let that peace come on that house. If they receive you, if it's worthy. If it's not worthy, let your peace come back to you. In other words, it's going to withdraw when you leave. Now, the word let there, to me, indicates intention. China, you come over this afternoon, I'm going to let you sit on my motorcycle. That's all. On the kickstand. Me holding it up too. Me saying I let you means with intention I permitted it.
Right.
Or I initiated it through intention. You follow me? So when Jesus said, let your peace come on that house, it sounds like with intention, let your peace be on that house. When you leave with intention, recall your peace back to you. And I believe God gave us that authority to release his anointing.
Yes.
But the word let there in the Greek, I looked up the word, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, could also mean, with the tense on that passage, could mean when you come into a house and it's worthy, your peace will come on that house. When you leave, your peace will come back. And you will be able to identify it. I'm going somewhere with this. We're to walk in the peace of God, externally and internally. And you will know the will of God in your life, what's worthy for you to do and what's not worthy for you to do, by the establishment of that peace upon you. Because if peace is on you and you start doing something you shouldn't be doing, it doesn't have to be sin. It's just the wrong thing for that moment. You can feel that peace being lifted. If you turn and say, "Whoops, God, I missed it," and go, it will return to you. I like to shop by the anointing. I usually know when I go in a store down here, am I supposed to be in here or not? Or should I be doing something else? Should I be praying instead? You can watch TV by the anointing. Are you ready for this? You can open the refrigerator door and check for peace. I knew that might catch a few toes. Here's the thing. The scriptures is quenched not the spirit. And when you run contrary with that peace is directing you, you can quench it and it'll be stripped away to the place you don't know it's not on you. And sometimes the little things we do during our day, when the Spirit of God's by peace saying, "Nope, nope," you don't hear a voice, just feel it. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, I'm working on this weight loss, but I've been about 2 months, I've been plateaued. And I think Atkins chocolates may be part of the reason I discovered Atkins chocolates.
Mary Jai.
But if you will hear God, and I'll hear God when I'm eating, I guarantee I will lose weight that I'm targeting. Yeah. And God will tell me, don't eat that. And not that I hear a voice, but I'll know that peace will be there.
Yes.
And Frosty's missing again. Don't tell him this again today.
He's out of town.
He's in
2 weeks.
Oh, he's going to be out of town. I didn't even know.
Yeah, last week and this week.
Okay. Well, Lord, forgive him then. I forgive him. Take not your Holy Spirit from you. That peace that is more than just a mental state, it's an internal and external manifestation of the presence of God that you have no concern. It strips it away. It pushes the demonic out of your atmosphere. So guess what? When the disciples carrying the anointing of peace came into a house and it was worthy, it may have been a household full of demons. I guarantee there are demons everywhere back then.
Yes.
These weren't born again people. These are, they're caught in up in a barbaric world.
Yes.
Yeah. The hedonism of the Greeks back at this time, the Romans back at this time, was off the scale beyond anything we can imagine today. But we're starting to see some of it.
Yes.
See the Super Bowl halftime show this year?
Oh, my goodness.
What is pro football thinking? You're going to bring up a trans to do the halftime show for a macho spirit sport.
Not fly.
It's not flying well.
No.
Talking about that, but I mean.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
I was thinking he might have backed that. I don't know if they.
I don't know. I don't know the current status of it. But just the thought process to even.
He said he didn't want to come to America.
It's like Bud Light saying,
"He's a citizen.
Let's go woke."
Yeah,
no. Anyway, Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
Let's alienate our whole customer base. Anyway, they were in a barbaristic. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
World, a hedonistic world. They're going in a house, you don't have demons. But the peace that Jesus released on them when they would go and would drive out the demonic spirits out of that house.
Yeah.
Clear up the atmosphere. But if the house said, "Hey, Doesn't matter what we're feeling. You're not welcome here. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what you got to do. They would leave, and that peace would be stripped off of that house. Here come the demons flooding back in, and they go to the next house with it. We have the same ability. Not only that, we have that same responsibility. We should be tapping into a peace that passes understanding, that human minds cannot comprehend, but when they get around it, they're open to the gospel.
Amen.
It transforms the air around them. Lying spirits are pushed aside. People are liberated. What a mighty God that we serve. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 32. Let's take this a step further. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Again, our normal mental mindset is peace is just not worrying. Actual God peace is supernatural. It's way beyond just not worrying. It'll produce a no worry mindset. But it's not the result of just not worrying. Amen. It's far beyond that. It's a Holy Spirit barbiturate that your mind was designed to live in. You think of the right example for this. In America, most of our outlets are the same.
Yeah.
Now, old outlets used to have two prongs, now they're three prongs. Does everybody understand why on that?
Ground.
New outlets have a ground. Houses are required by code to be grounded. They didn't used to have to be grounded to the plugs. Now they are. And if you go to Europe, the plugs look different.
Yeah.
Different countries, they can look different.
Yeah.
In America, in my garage, I've got some 220 plug outlets. They look different. I've got some 110 20 amp outlets, at least one in my garage. It looks different. Every outlet is built for a different plug. Do you follow me? And when you buy stuff appliances here, you know, 110 volt appliances, they're all going to have the same looking plug. Your house was built to accommodate 120 volt outlets. Right?
Right?
When God designed your soul, when He designed you, a triune being, He built you with a special outlet within your thinking that was designed to have supernatural peace plugged in.
Amen.
It was designed to have the Spirit of God plugged in. That unless it's plugged in, it's the only way you can have total fulfillment. If all my house was wired with plugs that took 50 cycle power, you go to Europe and it's a lot of it's 220 volt 50 cycle. Ours is 60 cycle. 60 hertz. The power that we receive. The outlets are different. If my house was wired with European outlets, even though I might have 1,000 appliances that all take American power, I can't plug them in. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And even though they're there, I can't use them because my house isn't designed to take them. God built us with the right plugs internally in our mind and really within us to have His peace plugged in. Now, I'm trying to think of stuff in my house that I have that's 110 volt that I plug in that I'm really thankful for. I'm thankful for microwaves. I'm thankful for TV. I like TV. I'm thankful for electric lights. I thank God for electric lights.
Amen.
Patty's thankful for curling irons, blow dryers, all these things. We're thankful for a refrigerator. I'm thankful for refrigerators. But if they can't be plugged in, they'll do me no good. And I would live far below the status of life I could have today if I didn't have the right plugs. Patty and I were talking about this a day or two ago. About, I'm so glad I live in today's, our modern age. Because I start thinking, what if we lived 200 years ago? 150 years ago? Do you know 150 years ago everybody walked like this? You're going on a horseback or in a buggy. Or walking, right? I'm thankful for cars and Harley Davidsons. Thankful.
Air conditioning.
Just like 150 years ago. 100 years ago, nobody had air conditioning.
True.
No refrigeration. Everything you eat was salted or preserved in some fashion like that.
Indoor plumbing.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah.
And see, my grandparents did not get indoor plumbing until I turned 13. They had indoor cold water. No hot water. No indoor bathroom. I was 13 living on my grandfather's farm. Every chance I had. No indoor bathroom. No indoor bathtub or shower. You took a SpongeBob bath at the sink. It was the best you could do. In a house full of people, guess what? You got your hand in your face and your feet. That was it. All summer. And swimming in a muddy pond at the same time. I'm thankful for indoor plumbing, hot water. You want to know what I'm really thankful for? Health departments. Food inspection. Think about all the food poisoning used to exist because they didn't know about E. coli and hand washing. Did you know it's only been 120 years ago we've known about washing instruments and hands and stuff, cleanliness for baby deliveries?
Amen.
Yep. And so many babies died during birth, after birthing from stuff caused by dirty instruments. I'm thankful we live today. Amen. And so if we don't have these things, there's levels of life we can live in that's unavailable, and you won't be fulfilled to the level you can be. And your mind, your being was built to have plugged into it the peace of God, and without that peace, we're living below what's available to us. Now, again, my grandparents, till they were close to in the 80s, never had air conditioning. Living in Kansas, does it get hot in Kansas? 105 degrees. I mean, hot summers, hot. And it used to be humidity was low, but now the humidity is higher. It would get hot. No air conditioning. You just sweltered. And then you went to bed without a bath or a shower, sweltering. You'd have fans going. You'd cool off some at night. And we thought nothing of it. Air conditioning would have been nice. But my grandfather said, I can't have air conditioning, even when it came out. I can't have that because you come in from the field for lunch. At lunch, you won't want to go back out. So we'll just stay miserable during lunch.
We thought, I graduated in 1969, and I never went to a school that had air conditioning.
Yeah, I went to UT without air conditioning. in my dorm. We didn't have any air. Graduated in 77. No air conditioning in the dorm. In Tennessee, it gets hot. But we had showers. The thing is, they didn't realize what they were missing out on. People 150 years ago didn't know what they're missing out on by no indoor power and all that. They didn't know. They could live so much better if they'd had it. And we tend not to know what we're missing out on when the presence and peace of God is upon us. We don't know what we're missing when it's not there. But when it's on you, you know what you'd be missing without it. It's interesting that God's built this entire system that's built on desire for Him, not addiction to Him. Now let me explain that. When you're caught up in the presence of God, you're sitting there going, God, I never want to be anywhere else but right here.
Amen.
I mean, seriously.
Amen.
I don't want to do anything. I just want to love you. And the thought I get to do this for eternity and live in this atmosphere is phenomenal. God, I just want to be in your presence all the time. Even when I go to work, I'm going to be in your presence like this. Until you're not in his presence. Then you think, it's okay. It's fine. Yes, you can survive it. And yes, you will get by. But you're living beneath what's available to you. You were built to have this plugged in. You can't know fulfillment without that peace plugged in. And we were built to have that, how can I say, blessing established within our life. And it's not just worrying, it's a tangible peace. I said to go to Isaiah 32, didn't I?
Yeah.
If I have time to teach on it or not, let's read it. We'll decide. We may get to it again next week. Look at verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. In other words, when you get a revelation of your righteousness, you know who you are in Christ once you're born again. You know that God has made you righteous. It will establish you in peace.
Amen.
And bring you quietness. In other words, it quells all the voices trying to overpower you. And it gives you assurance knowing that God loves you. You're going to heaven, you're right with Him. That revelation of righteousness. See, the number one thing that the revelation of righteousness did for me is it eradicated me beating myself up all the time.
Yes.
Before I was saved, I have to tell you, I was on fire for God. Still in fire. But then, I was in the Word 4, 6, 8 hours a day. In church every time I got an opportunity. Praying all the time. I mean, I'm after God. Not because He was making me. I wanted to know Him. I was raised without Him. Who is this God? Extreme hunger for the things of the Spirit. And yet, when I'm to break a fast early, you know, throw up and eat something. Because I was fasting so heavily. I'd throw up and then eat something because I was getting sick from fasting. I'd beat myself up. Oh, you couldn't even fast for 40 days. You only made it 35. You know, that kind of thing. Oh, you fell asleep in prayer and you said you love God. I'm getting bombarded with these thoughts and I'd beat myself up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You didn't seek it first, but just whatever. And I was always pounding myself down, beating myself down for feeling like a spiritual failure. You know, I'm on fire for God like a few people. I was expecting a perfection in me that was unattainable.
Amen.
By anybody.
Amen.
Except maybe Jesus. And I beat myself up. Oh God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Oh God, I've fallen short of the glory again. Please don't blot my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Has anybody else ever been there? I'd have a meltdown, get mad at something, you know, fuss or complain. Oh God, and I thought I was spiritual. I thought I loved you. And of course, the devil's helping out on this. when in 1995 I discovered, I've been saved for 11 years, I found out I was the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I finally heard it preached. He says, sank in. I was a new creation in Christ. God took away my sin nature. And God's not looking to throw me into hell. He's looking to get me into heaven. And he knows I'm going to make mistakes, but the blood covers it.
Yes.
I know he'd made me a new creation, and all of a sudden it delivered me from entertaining all these thoughts. God, I know you're not wiping my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I know you're not done with me. In fact, a verse I'd worked for years was Philippians 1:6, being confident of this one thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will continue till the day of Christ Jesus. You're still working with me. Thank you, Jesus. And I got to walk with a peace I'd not had before. The work of righteousness will be peace. You work righteousness in your thinking, it will bring you a mental liberation that you're not fighting all this condemnation. You follow me? The revelation of righteousness changed my life. And it'll change yours if it hadn't already. Work that word. But what I want to bring out just in a short closing today is we even if we have a revelation of righteousness, we understand this verse, we still tend to limit the peace to not worrying anymore. Not fearing God throwing us out of heaven anymore. Not feeling like a failure anymore. But the truth is, the revelation of righteousness doesn't just produce a mental, how can I say, mental freedom. It qualifies us to tap into anointings.
Amen.
Including a supernatural anointing of peace. See, when I found out I was righteous, now I know I'm qualified to use my faith to tap into giftings. I'm qualified to tap into personal healing. I mean, I was already walking in divine health before I got the revelation of righteousness, but I was having to work it. I believe I received it. Once I got a hold of righteousness, I know I'm qualified to live out of the kingdom. I'm a kingdom citizen. I believe I receive that healing. I have to walk the 4 hours a day believing for it, casting down every opposing thought. Why would God heal you? Not because I'm his child.
Amen.
And let me tap into anointings through righteousness. See, righteousness is more than just coming to a revelation that God loves you. The revelation of righteousness qualifies you to tap into the blessings and promises and power of God. And even Christians that are understanding the grace we can walk in, understanding the revelation we can tap into, are falling short of knowing the anointings we have access to through the righteousness. The righteousness we're working should be combined with a belief in God, let your peace come on me right now. And what we're going to get into is finding out. Just because you're qualified for it doesn't mean you'll tap into it.
That's right.
You've got to connect your faith to what God since you have access to.
Yes.
And righteousness empowers your faith to work, to access what God said you can have. And peace is a major component.
Yes.
Maybe the most important component of the Spirit of God, because peace is an aspect of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The fruit of the Spirit, one is peace. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness, temperance. Peace is a fruit of dwelling in the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God even change you. And we can live in that atmosphere.
Yeah.
And what's happening is when you tap into the fullness of the peace of God, none of us have done yet. We've tasted it. You're virtually living in the atmosphere of heaven itself. People say, what if we go to heaven? I don't know. You know, I can only play a harp so long, I'll get bored. You have no idea what the anointing of peace, the atmosphere of heaven, is going to have you been all the time. You're going to have difficulty functioning because all you want to do is tell God how much you love Him.
Amen.
When we've been there 10,000 years, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun. You know what that's from, right? What an awesome God we serve. Now, Patty and I, when we were first saved, had our kids, they were little, we go to Kansas every year to visit my family. I was so good to take them on great family vacations. Go to Kansas every year. That's about all we did. But had a blast. We'd often leave, I'd leave from work on a Friday afternoon, pick up the family and drive about a little over halfway to Kansas to my family. And there was a hotel we'd stop at in Wentzville, Missouri. It's been gone for years or changed names. And it was called Cheap Z's. There was a reason it was called Cheap Z's. It was cheap. It didn't cost much. I had the money. But I was raised to be very, what's the word I want?
Frugal.
Not stingy, frugal. Frugal. And that paid off. We needed that when I got called to ministry. So we'd stop at Cheap Z's every year, Cheap Z's. And I mean, it wasn't the cleanest place, but it had a bed, bed and shower. And we stayed there. Did you know we don't stop at Cheap Z's anymore? I'm not too good for it. But I found out God's got better.
Yes.
And I'm worth it.
Yes.
My bride is worth it.
Yes.
And we can go to nice places. And not have to live short of what's available to us.
Yes.
I can tap into the peace of God. I live a life far above what I've known in the past. But I have to target it. Amen. You know what I found out? You don't need reservations. You can still get a 4 or 5 star hotel just traveling down the road.
It's true.
At least a Hampton. You can get a Hampton.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
I've taken her places, got the town. And Priceline hotels when I got there to find out what I could get you. We stayed in some really nice places like that. Remember a hotel in Colorado Springs we stayed in? You don't remember. Where you lost all your makeup and
oh yeah, that was a nice
one. A nice little Priceline. Praise
yeah,
God.
The whole bag. Oh, yeah. I had my perfumes, my curl there.
Father, we thank you, Lord God. Patty's letting go by now. We thank you for your peace.
Yes.
I'm sure it was my fault somewhere along the line. I thank you for your peace, your joy. Draw us into it. Give us a hunger to pursue it. Because I know as we seek you and call upon it, it'll come upon us. I thank you, Lord God, in this church there are none sick. Supernatural rights. None in pain. You took our pains. None oppressed. You took our fears, our worry. Any form of oppression. In fact, you said in Isaiah, the work of righteous shall be a wrong one. In righteous, we shall be established. We shall be far from oppression, but we will not fear. Right? Far from it. Thank you for it. No oppression. No strife. No lack. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Thank you, Lord God, you take us deeper to you than we've ever known, and we stay there and don't go back. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thank you for our facility.
Yes.
Amen and amen.